A busy night of news. Your taxes could be about to change as the GOP plan clears a major hurdle. President Trump and protesters at the Capitol. Tonight, we take a closer look at how the plan could be a tough break for a lot of homeowners and home buyers.
We're looking at a tax increase. This is not a tax deduction in any way, shape, or form for us.
And adding to the drama, presidential insults flying and Democrats no-show at the White House. Are we headed for a government shutdown? And breaking news, North Korea fires an intercontinental ballistic missile higher than ever before, one that could be capable of hitting D.C. and New York. Save the date, new details on the royal wedding and what's next for the bride-to-be. There's a startling new look at the growing danger of drones colliding with commercial planes. The feds fear it's only a matter of time. And an age-old discovery at the holiest site in Christianity. Has Jesus' tomb been found?
This is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good evening to our viewers in the West. On a day a new North Korean ballistic missile launch snapped us back to that still simmering crisis, much of the focus here at home today remained on taxes as Senate Republicans made headway on their sweeping overhaul plan that may determine exactly how much money the government will start taking out of your paycheck next year. President Trump putting in FaceTime on Capitol Hill to try to move the bill forward, while back at the Oval Office employing a little stagecraft to taunt Democrats in a looming showdown over spending. From the White House, our Kristen Welker starts us off.
Healthcare is a right! Healthcare is a right!
Tonight, tensions growing over tax reform, with protests erupting against the Republican plan on Capitol Hill, which cleared a key committee vote. President Trump, who needs a legislative win with the clock ticking, going to rally Republican senators, later describing his visit as a love fest.
I wish you could have been inside that room. It was very, very special, the camaraderie. Somewhat of a love fest. They want to see it happen.
But the GOP tax plan still facing stiff resistance among Republicans. Concerns the plan could add to the deficit and independent projections that it could cost Americans who make under $75,000 a year.
So I'm just trying to ensure that we put in place a policy that's great for future generations.
And while the president is showing confidence about tax reform,
we're going to get it passed. I think it's going to pass.
Another critical test is looming, a potential government shutdown just 11 days away. And tonight, a major setback, Democratic leaders refusing to attend a White House meeting to discuss a funding bill. The president taking a page from his past reality TV playbook, trying to drive home the point with two empty chairs and name tags for Democratic leaders Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi.
They decided not to show up. They've been all talk and they've been no action. And now it's even worse. Now it's not even talk.
The Democrats, who just 3 months ago struck a short-term spending deal with the president, even sealing it with a hug, decided to pull out today after the president blasted, quote, Chuck and Nancy on Twitter, saying before the meeting, I don't see a deal.
With his tweet this morning, President Trump made sure that today's meeting is nothing but a photo op. These issues are far too serious for these kinds of games.
Democratic leader Nancy Pelosi also lashing out, tweeting the president knows that his, quote, verbal abuse will no longer be tolerated, and he's more interested in stunts than in addressing the needs of the American people. Lester.
Kristen Welker, thanks. Let's stay on taxes here. We're going to take a closer look tonight at how the Republican plan could affect a lot of homeowners and home buyers. The current proposals would eliminate or cap key deductions that homeowners use to write off their mortgage interest and property taxes. Real estate experts warn that could be a tough break for a lot of people. NBC's Tom Costello explains.
Ridgewood, New Jersey lies just 20 miles from Manhattan, and boy, do they pay for it. Jennifer and Rafael Brito bought their four-bedroom home 26 years ago for $245,000. Now it's worth $750,000. Their property taxes nearly $18,000 a year. But under the Republican plan, the Britos worry their home value will sink just as their total tax bill skyrockets.
In order to make the home affordable for us, we count on that deduction.
A lot of Americans count on deducting their mortgage interest and their property taxes from their federal taxes. But now Congress is talking about capping or eliminating those deductions. The size of that deduction depends on where you live. In the middle of the country, homeowners typically have $6,500 or less in combined deductions. But on the coast, where homes are more expensive, the deductions average $10,000 to $12,000 a year. In some metro areas, $20,000, even $30,000. Many Americans could find it costs more to keep their homes and makes it harder to sell.
Well, if you cannot write off interest and the tax benefits, that means fewer people will want to buy a home. Therefore, home values decline and home ownership rate will also decline.
The nation's realtors warn home values could drop by 10% on average, 15% in pricey areas. Republicans insist new higher standard deductions will make up the difference.
Very much aimed at the middle class. And renew the promise of the American dream.
Yet another provision would require homeowners to stay in their homes longer to avoid paying capital gains taxes when they sell. But for the Britos and millions of other families,
we're looking at a tax increase. This is not a tax deduction in any way, shape, or form for us.
Fear the new tax plan could put a part of the American dream out of reach. Tom Costello, NBC News, Washington.
Turning now to that breaking news, another intercontinental ballistic missile launched by North Korea. Its first in months and its highest one by far. Experts now fear North Koreans could extend their reach. Their missiles could extend their reach as far as New York. President Trump saying late today, we'll take care of it. NBC News chief foreign correspondent Richard Engel has late details.
North Korea fired one of its biggest and most controversial missiles today, similar to this one intelligence officials believe launched last September, an intercontinental ballistic missile, which in theory can reach the continental U.S. But not the way North Korea fired this one. It went almost straight up, peaking, the South Korean military said, at an altitude of nearly 3,000 miles, traveling a distance of just 600 miles until it crashed off the Japanese coast, causing no damage. President Trump often criticized for his provocative and at times threatening rhetoric. Today, kept his cards close.
It is a situation that we will handle.
Defense Secretary Mattis added a little more detail.
It went higher, frankly, than any previous shot they've taken.
Why now? Political payback, perhaps. President Trump threatened the North Korean regime while in South Korea earlier this month. The president followed up with a tweet saying he'd never call Kim Jong-un short or fat. Kim Jong-un was in no position to respond. The U.S. had three aircraft carrier strike groups nearby. Now, all but one of the carriers has left. And we may be entering a new cycle of escalation. In Hawaii today, officials let reporters listen to the state's new attack warning siren. Starting in December, it will be tested every month.
A possibility of attack today is very remote, but we do believe that it's important that we be proactive.
Richard, we heard Secretary Mattis say that this is North Korea's highest missile launch so far. Why is that important? What's the significance?
Well, we always talk about range, but altitude is very important because U.S. officials believe North Korea is testing a so-called re-entry vehicle, which is the protective housing that goes over a warhead. The housing has to be strong enough to protect the warhead from the extreme heat created when a missile falls through the atmosphere. It's not enough just to have a warhead. You also have to make sure it can come down from the sky with those extreme conditions in one piece.
All right, Richard Engel in our London newsroom tonight. Thanks. On another diplomatic front, First Daughter and White House senior advisor Ivanka Trump is on a trip to India without a diplomatic delegation to back her up. All of it happening at a time of growing turmoil back home in the State Department. NBC's Andrea Mitchell now with details.
Ivanka Trump in India today on what the Indian press is calling a royal visit.
Our administration is striving to promote greater opportunity for women around the world.
But without a high-level State Department support team, a deliberate snub from Secretary of State Rex Tillerson, say diplomatic sources. Tillerson himself under fire, accused of launching a war against diplomacy partly by a hiring freeze.
There is no hollowing out. These numbers that people are throwing around are just false. They're wrong.
Rebutted by a 40-year veteran diplomat who quit this year, telling us tonight.
It's hard to refute the stories of a hollowing out of the State Department when the State Department is being hollowed out by lack of appointment of senior people.
The complaint from career diplomats quitting in droves, vacancies in hotspots around the world, no ambassador in South Korea, Saudi Arabia, or Egypt, no permanent assistant secretary for all of Africa, Asia, the Middle East, or other key regions, a 33% budget cut so drastic even the Republican Congress balked.
I think you're going to find Democrats and Republicans united on this issue. There's no reason for a hiring freeze in the State Department. They imposed it themselves.
We asked the State Department.
Isn't it mostly because this administration has been so slow to nominate and because of the job freeze?
I think it's an unfair characterization to say that the administration has been slow to nominate. It's not going fast enough, Andrea. I will be the first to admit that, but the secretary certainly says that as well.
Tillerson says he can cut the budget because he expects to resolve conflicts, some conflicts around the world, surprising experts who point to the wars in Afghanistan, Syria, and Yemen, and that missile launch in North Korea. Lester?
Andrea Mitchell at the State Department tonight. Thank you, Andrea. A surprising verdict tonight for the man accused of masterminding the deadly attack on the U.S. diplomatic compound in Benghazi, Libya, 5 years ago. A jury in Washington, D.C. found Ahmed Abu Qatala guilty of helping to plan and carry it out, but he was acquitted on charges that he killed the four Americans who died in the raid. Prosecutors said this surveillance video, never before broadcast until now, showed a group of armed men that he commanded storming the complex. Qatala faces a maximum of 20 years in prison. Across the pond tonight, a save-the-date notice of sorts as the palace has released new details on the royal wedding of Prince Harry and his American TV star girlfriend about to become British royalty. So what's next for Meghan Markle? Here's NBC's Kelly Kobiea in London.
Prince Harry and his bride-to-be will walk down the aisle in May in Windsor, the Queen's favorite home. A moment of fun and joy, the palace said today, to reflect the characters of the bride and groom.
All the stars were aligned. Everything was just perfect.
Today, new video of the couple, outtakes from their big interview, mics off, sharing a joke, and new details on the wedding. Smaller than Prince William's, and more private, like his uncle Prince Edward's, in the chapel where Harry was christened. Meghan Markle will be baptized first.
Because I'm from the States, you don't grow up with the same understanding of the royal family.
She's clearly off to a strong start. Today, an endorsement from her new neighbor and future sister-in-law.
William and I are absolutely thrilled. It's such exciting news.
And her future mother-in-law.
America's loss is our gain, and we're all absolutely delighted.
Even the Queen's prized pups approve.
Corgis took to you straight away.
That's true.
For the last 33 years being barked at, this one walks in absolutely
just laying on my feet during tea. It was very sweet.
And it's just like, oh.
Markle says she wants to travel through Britain to get to know it better and one day be British, a dual citizen.
We're a bit stiff upper-lipped. We don't sometimes perhaps tend to take ourselves a little seriously, although we've got a good sense of humour. We're less relaxed. And I think that might take some adjusting too.
She'll test the waters Friday, stepping out with her prince to greet the public, both with that love-struck glow. Kelly Kobiea, NBC News, London.
Thousands of tourists, including Americans, remain stranded in paradise after that massive volcano eruption on Bali spewed ash more than 2 miles into the air. It's closed the island's main airport for another day. Officials have urged the 100,000 people who live near the volcano site to evacuate, but fewer than half have left. Back home now to a growing danger in the sky. A startling new alert from the FAA today warning of the significant risk personally owned drones around the country pose to commercial planes. NBC News national correspondent Miguel Almaguer with more now on what would happen if a drone and a plane collide in midair.
Some sort of a lighted drone just flew right over it.
It happens too often. Drones nearly colliding with commercial aircraft. Like this close call in Dallas, a drone flying a few hundred feet above an Airbus.
Airbus reported a drone passing over the top of them.
Tonight, Assure, a team of researchers working with the FAA, worries it's only a matter of time until a drone strikes a passenger plane. The new study simulates that impact. Drones slamming into the leading edge of a wing, the stabilizers, and the windshield of passenger jets.
I think we should be aware that even small drones can cause damage into the airframe.
Planes are designed to withstand some damage caused by birds, so researchers compared that to drone strikes of similar size and speed. The takeaway? Drones made with metal cause more damage.
Damage to the airplane, be it an engine loss or damage to a windscreen, creates an emergency. Pilots are trained to handle flying the airplane with an engine out, and I would expect them to be able to come back around and land.
With more drones in the air, regulations on where you can fly them protect the public, but they have to be followed and enforced to keep everyone on the ground and in the air safe. Miguel Almaguer, NBC News, Los Angeles.
Still ahead this evening, holy mystery, what modern-day science is now revealing about the ancient site many Christians believe was the tomb of Jesus Christ. Also, inspiring America on this Giving Tuesday, 100 little kids with big hearts out to change the world. Hope you can stay with us. We're back now with the mystery that's long intrigued religious scholars. For centuries, many Christians have believed that a sacred site in Jerusalem contained the tomb of Jesus Christ. Now, modern-day science is weighing in with new archaeological tests. And NBC's Keir Simmons has more on a groundbreaking discovery.
A church where millions have worshipped for thousands of years is again making history tonight. Franciscan monk Father Eugenio guides me to what many have long believed to be the tomb of Jesus Christ and the site of the holiest of miracles.
Jesus has died and has resurrected.
This is the place. This is the place where Jesus was resurrected.
Yes.
His faith, firmer than ever, after new scientific evidence, proves that Jerusalem's Church of the Holy Sepulchre, pillaged, rocked by earthquakes and ravaged by fires, does date back to Roman times. The news revealed exclusively in December's National Geographic.
Now we know this is the exact site that was identified 1,700 years ago that to this day remains a focal point of Christian pilgrimage.
A year ago, the tomb was opened for the first time in centuries. Ancient mortar removed, its crystals analyzed, and dated to 300 AD, when Romans would have first discovered Jesus' tomb and enshrined it.
For almost 2,000 years, this has been a place where Christian faith and history meet. Now science is here, confirming what so many believe.
It's not evidence of Jesus' body, but it suggests they're looking in the right place. Science and the scriptures, often at odds, in agreement tonight, with many questions still to answer. Keir Simmons, NBC News, Jerusalem.
Coming up here tonight, do you have a sunny personality or a gloomy outlook? The big factor that science says shaped who you are. Nominations are out for the 2018 Grammys, and Jay-Z leads the pack, nominated for all three of the biggest awards, album, record, and song of the year. Bruno Mars is also nominated in all three categories. Kendrick Lamar scored 7 nominations in all. Rap and R&B artists dominated the nominations overall. We've all met people with sunny dispositions and others who'd rather rain on your parade. Turns out your personality may have been shaped by the climate you grew up in. Researchers found people who grew up in milder climates tend to score higher on socialization, stability, personal growth, and openness in a study that's sure to spark plenty of discussions. And they said Cyber Monday was going to be a blockbuster, and shoppers made it a record breaker. In fact, it was the biggest online shopping day in history. Americans spent about $6.6 billion. That's a lot of clicks. Mobile sales alone were about $2 billion. When we come back, the spirit of giving. 100 kids with 100 great ways for you to help on this Giving Tuesday. Inspiring America is next. Finally, tonight on this Giving Tuesday, some of the biggest gifts are coming from the smallest among us. 100 kids with heartwarming ideas on how to give back. And there's a way you can join their causes. NBC's Kristen Dahlgren has tonight's Inspiring America report.
While many kids focus on what they want to get this time of year,
you want these stuffed animals?
Walt would rather give.
I heard a lot about giving, then I thought maybe I could be one of those givers.
A second grader with a heart bigger than he is.
This is going to be heavy. Okay.
Collecting pajamas for kids in foster care. Chloe couldn't stop thinking about a homeless woman she saw on her way to school.
Thank you.
Now she puts together bags of necessities for those in need.
Giving me a hug is a good $1,000 to me. It's very valuable.
Both are GoFundMe kid heroes, 100 of the most generous among us, featured in a new campaign by the giving site. And on this Giving Tuesday, each granted $1,000 more for their favorite causes.
Not only are these kids compassionate, but they're super creative, and their appetite to solve the world's problems is so large and inspiring.
Amaya sells lemonade to help pay off school lunch debts.
I'm helping the world by setting an example for other people.
I'm still a kid, though.
Kids showing us all that age doesn't matter when you want to change the world.
You're never too young to help. You can always do something.
Kristen Dahlgren, NBC News, New York.
We appreciate you spending part of your evening with us. That is Nightly News for this Tuesday night. I'm Lester Holt. For all of us at NBC News, thank you for watching, and good night.